Welcome to the ADHD Alchemy Podcast, where women with ADHD finally feel seen, understood, and unapologetically themselves. If you have ever felt like you're too much and not enough all at the same time, you're in the right place because that's the alchemy, learning how both come together to make something priceless. I'm Jessica Covington, holistic ADHD coach and fellow fancy brain, and I'm really glad you're here. Let's get into it. Welcome to ADHD Alchemy. It is more than a podcast. It's also my signature coaching program at Fitology. It's perfect for bright, sensitive women who are tired of feeling scattered and chaotic and ready to feel calm, clear, and finally in control. Inside the program, group or private, we will quiet the relentless inner critic, break old patterns of procrastination and self-sabotage, and start redefining ADHD on your own terms. So in just a few weeks, you'll find yourself grounded, confident, and leading your life with intention by learning to work with your fancy brain instead of against it. This is where your too much becomes your magic and where real lasting change begins on day one. So if that speaks to you, find more at fitology.com. That link, of course, will be in the show notes. Today, we have with us Tina Tickles Dinkle. Tina blends servant leadership and nonprofit experience to uplift others, advancing ADHD awareness, building community, and guiding high performers through personal transformation. Drawing from her life break insights and expert collaboration, she champions others on their experiential journey. Tina, it is so good to have you with us today. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. It's wonderful to meet you, Jessica, and be here with your audience.
I'd love to start with something that you said to me when we first got in touch, that ADHD isn't a disorder or an excuse. It's a difference and an explanation. And that's something I say often to my clients because it's a really critical shift. And I'm curious, what does it mean to you?
Well, thank you. And I'm glad we're starting there because as someone that's only been diagnosed for a year, it was instrumental in helping me process what that looked like and to step out of what I saw, or most of the public, I believe, sees as a diagnosis of a disorder. And so thinking of it as what is typically seen as there's something wrong, or you're so different that we have to classify it or name it something different, sometimes I see folks that will use it as, well, I can't do that because of my ADHD, or in reality and in my experience, it's my choice not to do that because of the ADHD, because I know how it's going to impact me. So it helps a lot with the communication style. So for me, I do see it as a difference and an explanation for the first 50 years of my life and some of the experiences that I went through.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. What was it like for you to grow up unaware that you had a differently wired mind and then find out as an adult that being differently wired was part of the picture all along?
Well, this is one of those, you know, we could sit down and have coffee and lunch and then dinner again later, but to be as brief, not knowing and fully understanding as a young girl, especially, makes you stand out or shrink. So in my case, a lot of shrinking, and then because I stood out too much in many, many places. So standing out in being louder than the rest of the kids, or standing out and wanting to sit with the adults at the lunch table at my grandmother's house and being seen as maybe nosy instead of curious naturally. Then shrinking when being told things like, stop doing that, go to your room, some of those first, 8 to 10 years of life, and it's teachers and it's grandparents and it's parents and it's older adults and mentors that you look up to. And it's not that it was ever intentional. I'm at a place where I can see that. And I saw it at the time in some ways that they were trying to teach me. They were trying to educate me. They wanted me to be like everyone else. Right. But now as an adult, seeing it as how it shaped me, how I was able to work through a lot of life altering and changing breaks throughout my lifetime and be able to handle them differently than some others would. Again, these are the differences in us. It explains a lot. It doesn't make us bad. It's not an excuse. And certainly I don't consider it to be a disorder.
Mm-hmm. That one line about wanting to sit at the grown-ups table just went right to my heart because that was me too. And
I'm
I
just
think,
naturally curious or nosy, what others saw it as, right?
naturally curious and usually naturally pretty smart. High
Yes.
intelligence correlates pretty highly with ADHD. And so, we want to know things that maybe other kids our age aren't necessarily interested in. It's funny that
Absolutely.
that really stuck out for both of us.
It is. And if we can go down a little bit of a rabbit hole with that, speaking of intelligence, I've never seen myself as someone that was intelligent in that way. However, looking back at 50 years old and the choices that I made at 10, 11, 12, because I shrank a little bit and I wanted to focus on studies because that kept me out of trouble or didn't, put me in other people's paths of telling me to be quiet or, settle down type things. I had an opportunity. It's very unique in the state of Kansas, and I believe there's very few in the United States, but I had the opportunity to be invited in seventh grade, based on our state testing, to a magnet school or a college preparatory school, as it's referred to in other states and cities. And it's the only one in the county that I grew up in Wyandotte County. And there were, I'm not sure how many received invitations, but there were less than six of us out of that middle school that chose to go. Because in the 80s, it was the dorks, you thought you were better than other people, you're a smarty pants, so some of these things. But to make that choice so young and say, I crave the knowledge, I crave around, being around other people that are a little bit different maybe than the norm. But that started a trajectory in my life that carried me through until I lost some of those great systems around my 30s and 40s.
Just to provide a little contrast to that story, I grew up thinking, I really am. I'm not that bright because of all the times that I had learned something and wanted to share it with somebody, but because of the working memory challenges associated with ADHD, I couldn't bring those facts to mind when I wanted them to. My smarts didn't show up when and where I needed them to. So I grew up thinking, well, I'm just, smarts are for some kids, but not for me. And so diagnosis in my mid-40s included an assessment of all those kinds of things. And it was such a revelation for me to discover that I wasn't actually that stupid. I still have my challenges.
Yes. And trying to find those words, I can absolutely relate. And I think that's one of the most devastating things, whether it's girls, women, older diagnosed, it's what we've told ourselves. We wouldn't say that out loud. You're saying this on a podcast because it's yours and you're comfortable at this stage, but we would never say that out loud to a friend or someone that cared about us because they wouldn't agree. What do you mean you don't think you're What do you mean you don't think you're intelligent? We all misplace words and can't pull the facts. Just like you, Jessica, I'm sure I've been a lifelong learner. I've gone through the courses. I may or may not have gotten the certification for it. I can pull the bits of knowledge that stood out for me. But I couldn't recite the book to you, call out the quotes, name the artist, but I can tell you enough about it because it there was some sensation that stayed with me that was important to me. The rest of it is just facts and figures, and so I prefer to look at it like that. It's interesting information. My brain's too full of too many other exciting things, and I'm sorry, I can't remember the name right now. Whereas I used to shame myself a lot. Like, how could I read that book three times or I read that chapter twice. Why can't I remember the character's name? Why can't I remember the year or the date? That was always a struggle. And now just finding this clarity again, having an explanation that it wasn't something wrong the whole time. It was really just how my brain works. And I have gotten very comfortable with that in the last year.
Yeah, I'm so glad to hear that. You mentioned ADHD in girls, and that leads perfectly into what I'd love to ask you about next, which is your work and collaboration with Find the ADHD Girls. ADHD is such a dynamic difference, and it can show up very differently from one person to the next, or even in the same person over time. And at the same time, there are some common threads that seem to run through demographic groups, one of those being that women often cope just fine until they're in their 30s. We go through life believing that everyone needs extra time to do things. Everyone feels like there are five radio stations playing in their head at all times. Everyone needs to wait until the deadline is imminent before they start something, on and on. And then we reach this middle stage of life and start to realize, oh, maybe that's not the case. And what's more, the things we relied on in the past do not cut it anymore. You and I share this notion that telling these stories out loud can help younger generations see that they don't have to crash and burn as adults. So I'd love to hear a story from your experience that can really speak directly to the woman listening of any age and feeling that she's all alone in how she thinks and feels.
Thank you for the setup. That is a great opening because that is the power of the work that you're doing and that I know you've been doing for a few years now. And being newer in this space, what I'm not seeing and what I could almost get up on my soapbox about is that we
Please.
aren't doing enough to encourage each other. I won't say suffered. I learned. I have no regrets in my life. I learn. I live. I learn. I made choices. I didn't like them. Here we are, right? But in reality, there are so many of us that are older, don't understand, live in that shame, that guilt that I'm not enough. And I don't care if you're 14 or 45 or 84, there is a space where you get to choose where you want to be. And I don't want other women to sit in that space any longer than they have to. I didn't get diagnosed till I was 50. I started losing my systems in my late 30s. My 40s are somewhat of a blur and a lot of challenging situations that I'm sure we could both write multiple books and a whole library that's behind you to tell some stories. But in reality, I don't want someone, whether I know you or not, to feel that way about themselves, especially in such a negative light, when you have so much to give, you have done so much in your life. And again, you either get quiet, you shrink, you become someone you don't recognize anymore. And it's because you don't understand yourself enough. In our case, it's ADHD. For others, maybe it's something else. But my passion around the work with Finding ADHD Girls that was started by Cynthia Hammer is she is focusing on those younger girls. I had the gift and the incredible opportunity to be a part of a book with many women in this space that are professionals, that have done coaching, that are psychotherapists, doctors from here to Europe and Australia. And just going through the exercise of some of the questions that Cynthia provided us through was a lifetime of therapy wrapped into a couple of weeks. It was that, yes, it was that life altering. When you can sit today as a 20-year-old, 70-year-old woman and say, I wish my younger self knew this. I wish if I, and I never had a daughter, I have two sons, but I wish my mother would have told me this. I would have liked for a teacher to recognize this. But wait a second. I do recognize three teachers that either pulled me aside or gave me a wink or understood and gave me a different direction when I was going against the rest of the class. When we take a moment to be still and recognize how many people helped us get through some of those times, no matter how challenging they were, I see it as a genuine gift. And that's how I'd like others to see it. I think when just unfortunately, Jessica, we live in a world where it's the shock and the awe and the social media and who's looking at me and who's crying louder and who's got a poutier face or who's had a more traumatic this or a sadder life of that. There is a lot, there's enough to go around, and we all have them. Some of us choose to keep it on the inside, others love to tell their story 24/7. That's okay, that's for them. This is for us. But when we keep that inside and we bury it, you talk a lot about the mind and body and gut and some of the healing of all that, how that all that fits together. I have seen it eat away at people and change who they are over a lifetime. It sounds very obscure maybe to some of your listeners, but when we think about it, if you can't sleep, if you have digestive issues, if you have headaches. I had headaches all through middle and high school and through college. I could not define what it is. Now, 30 or 40 years later, we're hearing that's one of the ADHD in women and girls symptoms is migraines and headaches at that age and adolescence. So All that to say, the work to be a part of sharing one story, that was in a book. She's also doing some of the podcasting and vignettes, like what you're starting here. And so, again, just to be a part
Yeah.
of this, and we know there's more of us out here, but you know what we are? We are very high performers. We are high achievers. We are the stoics. We are the quiet ones in the back of the rooms. We are leading in our churches, our communities, our companies, our, Fortune 500s, our own businesses. And we don't have time to do this work. I was in a very unique
Right.
situation last year to do some of it on my own. And that's why individuals like yourself and so many incredible folks that are in this online space talking about it and raising awareness, it's just it's an important community to be a part of, and it's important work for women out here going through this phase of life and still not being diagnosed or not being aware enough to do some self-reflection.
Yeah, thank you for that. It is important. Let's talk about another thing that comes up often in this crowd, a little bit related to what you were just saying. And that is a woman who has an idea that ADHD may be part of her picture, going to a clinician and then hearing, "Oh, don't worry, honey, you wouldn't have gotten this far if you had ADHD." I think you have some personal experience with that.
I love the way you set that up. Thank you. So, part of my story too, Jessica, is, and like many, what I consider at this point, a potential misdiagnosis. Again, I'm not saying right or wrong, no regret, no blame. But because our culture says women have hormones, they get moody, they get depressed, they get anxious. And from a woman whose family has a diagnosis or a long history of depression that I found out very early in life, I knew to be aware of it. So when I didn't feel right, and I know that many women may not have that experience, but when I started to not feel right, when I was so exhausted, sad, couldn't get out of my own way, and I was typically a very happy, pleasant, positive person. When I didn't feel right, I knew that I needed to talk with someone or go seek assistance. So during different life transitions, like at 25, when I moved back from Atlanta, we talked about that to Kansas City. That was a life transition. I wanted a little assistance. I went to someone, we talked through it. But then as I got into my late 30s and 40s, when you're supposed to have your life together, when you're married and you're stable and you have money and children and all these things that we're told are supposed to be fulfilling. When it becomes pressure instead of the joy, that is that's when I knew I needed to seek. And what was the final trigger or proverbial straw that broke the camel's back was losing my parents, a grandfather, a grandmother, and four out of five of them within a 6 month period. And then my mother had Alzheimer's. And so dealing with her last 2+ years of life. So on top of that, having a 2 and a 5 year old, I was taking my small nonprofit through a merger over those 2 years. And I just thought I was having the breakdown, right? Like women have chaos and they have that pressure, and that's just part of your life. That's what we've always heard. But it's not a midlife crisis. It is something in us. I felt now, or I didn't understand at the time, but I see it now. It is a, whether it's a calling, it's an undercurrent, is what I keep calling it. There is something that needs to change in your life. For some people, that becomes divorce. It's not a comparison. If you know you need to make a change, do what is right for you. Some people see it as selfish. I don't see that, and I don't know why someone else would judge that. What I started to do, though, is go and get the medical assistance that I thought I needed. But after a decade of doing it and going on antidepressant, three different kinds over that 10 years, plus adding an anti-anxiety and being so high up that I didn't feel, I was just kind of blah. Like there was no good, bad. It was just the way life was. But I knew that there was something occurring. So when I went to my provider and started to say things like, I'm reading more about, I have seen articles. Now I'm seeing it on the front of magazines. Of course, when you see things in social media, you're going to see more of it, right? So is this something that's really happening? And the response from my provider, that I've been with for almost 12
Okay.
years said to me verbatim, "You wouldn't have gotten this far or been this successful if you had ADHD." That was absolutely, it was kind of mind-boggling and crushing. But I think that is where some of the awareness as women, as we get older, we've always had that gut feeling. We knew it with our kids when they were sick. We do it when our parents need something or with a friend. You have that sense. And my encouragement is to act on it. Educate yourself. Yes, there's a lot of misinformation online, but goodness, there's a lot of great information out there too. And there's some very reputable companies, individuals like yourself, providers, and caregivers that want to help you through the process. And so my ask is to be sure to take care of yourself and don't just continue to listen, even if it's someone that you've trusted for a while. Because I think that's another part, Jessica, is it's not just the providers or the clinicians, it's our family. It's our friends. What do you
That's
mean? Or
right.
yeah, we're all just a little ADHD. It's fine. Well, not when you're the person that antagonizes over things, doesn't sleep, has negative self-talk track 24/7. That is not helpful for you. And women need to know that. And it's okay to step outside and say, you know what, let me do a little research myself. Let me ask someone else that might be in the space that could understand and have a, maybe a non-biased opinion.
Yeah, that's right. It's tough because so often, especially as women slash girls, we're conditioned out of trusting that intuition you mentioned that can be really useful and helpful and reliable. And we get told over the years sometimes that we're making that up, that it's not real, that we're oversensitive, and so on. So I especially appreciate that you included that in your description, because I do think we need to develop a better relationship with our own inner knowing and be able to trust it a little bit more.
Thank you.
So many of us, shifting gears a little bit here, so
Yes,
many
yeah.
of us with fancy brains end up in business for ourselves, like us. And yet, it's hard for us to start on things and follow through and stay organized and balance work with rest. In what ways has that been part of your journey?
Well, especially starting a business, we were talking before we started recording, Jessica, but I am a starter. It is who I am. I'm a builder, and I didn't recognize the value in that probably until the last 2 years, maybe. I just thought I liked to quit when the fun was over. And so for some people, the startup is very, again, chaotic. It's stressful. It's nerve-wracking. We're not sure what decisions to make. For me, it's always been like this comfort. I can see what you want to do. Let's build it together. And that's very exciting for me. But what I found out in starting a couple of my own businesses, I've done, some online sales with Amazon, with Etsy. I've had a couple of stores, virtual stores. I had a printing business. I've started a couple of nonprofits that I've since handed off. So I love that startup. What became the challenge is, can I do the accounting? Sure, I can. Do I get out of bed in the morning looking for doing the accounting? Absolutely not. Can I do the sales and marketing? Sure. Is that what gets me juiced up about what I want to do in the future? Absolutely not. So knowing that I'm a builder in the space of being an entrepreneur is critical as I move forward into the next phase of my actions and what I want to do in this space as well.
That makes perfect sense. And I that reframe is so important, from shifting from, oh, I'm somebody who likes to quit when things get rolling, to I'm fantastic, I'm phenomenal at starting things.
And that comes from years and
Is really
years of
critical.
telling
And
myself,
one thing.
yes. I'm sorry, we kind of cut over there. I was just going to say, and the reason I've been able to make that shift is because it's been years and decades of hearing that negative talk to myself that I quit or I gave up or I didn't finish it. That wasn't the case, but I would not have probably gotten to that outcome or that change of or reframing if I had not been diagnosed with ADHD. So that is part of, I love to call it gifts. Like, here's the little nuggets, here's the little things that it's done for me. It can do so much to disrupt our lives and we don't understand it, but it also, if we're able to make that shift in how we think, and this is, again, what I would call myself as a builder, not a sustainer. That came with a lot of shame when I had to walk away from things. It's not because, I tried to be the big, tough, strong one and be like, yes, I'm just a builder. And, you guys are great on your own here. And then I would sink away and feel terrible that I didn't either want to continue, I didn't have the capacity or the interest. Like there was something wrong with me that I didn't want to keep moving forward with the rest of the group. And when you do that year after year, project, business, relationship, activity, commitments, it tends to pile up quite a bit. So it's nice to be on the other side of this now. But again, I know that we know that there are a lot of women in that space right now.
That's right. The other thing I think that it allows us to do is to make it okay to enlist support and bring a team around us that is strong in areas where we might not be. So if we know that we're a fantastic starter, we want to team up with sustainers so that they can keep things going and get things off to a collaborative, strong start from the very beginning, instead of having to feel that shame and embarrassment that you mentioned.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is key. Finding, and again, being an ADHD person, I think many of us have a very difficult time asking for help. So that's something that has come full circle in the last year or two since diagnosis. We're told on our own we could do it ourselves. We were constantly reinforced that, be a big girl or pull up your big pants, those types of things. We take them literally that we have to do it on our own. And it's so uncomfortable to ask for help. But there are so many people that surround us every single day that want to help us. And when we stay strong, in some ways they shrink away because they think we don't need them. And that can happen in relationships, it can happen in families, it can happen in coworkers. But then that guilt and becomes resentment that no one will see. Can't you see I'm struggling? That's at least was my experience. Like, how come no one will? I don't need someone to save me, I need someone to do one little thing for me. Then the question becomes, why can't I ask for that one little thing? And once we start asking, it becomes so much easier to get others involved or to get the support that we need and that people want to give us, frankly.
Yeah, that's true. So long as we don't then become the micromanagers of all the little things.
It's like you read my mind. So then there's a swing,
I can
right?
tell you stories of,
You can see it.
there
I
have
like
been
it, but
stories
I
in my
like it
life of
my
how that's
way.
become a nightmare
Yep.
for
Thank you,
sure.
but I like it my way. Let me take it back for you. That does not help anyone, right? Ugh.
Tina, as we start to wrap up today, I'd love to know what you're giving yourself permission to stop proving or stop doing nowadays. What are you releasing that you have
Ooh.
previously held tightly to before growing into your ADHD thinking style?
It's a great question because it is one of the ones you set me up for that I had to think about, right? This is it's life altering, it's life changing. Again, I don't care if you're 8 or 88. There is something about having some self-awareness and then being accountable for it. And then being strong enough or being confident enough to say, this just really doesn't work for me. And I love what you guys are doing, but I am choosing to, or I don't have the time to do it right now, but thank you so much for the offer. Instead of feeling the guilt and shame around that, sure, I'd love to help, but does it get me excited? Probably not. Or is it going to, are there going to be loud noises, bright lights, too many people? I'm okay not being there instead of feeling guilty or feeling like I'm missing out on something now. So keeping my peace, I guess. So some of that self-acceptance, again, Jessica, being of service, I worked in the service industry off and on for 40 years, including, the nonprofit work. But what I see the shift in my service is instead of doing everything for others, part of my service is making sure that I'm saving enough for myself so that I don't give everything away.
Ooh, say that again, please.
Part of great service includes being of service to ourselves, not giving everything away. Some people have seen it, or I hear the term being people pleasers. I don't know necessarily that I was ever a people pleaser. I knew what I was doing, and I would do it because it would please you to do it, for me to do it for you. However, once I continued to please you more than I did myself, that's how I see people pleasing. When I'm depleted, making you happy. I love that you're happy. That gets me excited. I want to, sunshine and rainbows and confetti. I love it. But when I gave more than either I received or I felt appreciation for, that's when I got depleted. And they didn't know it. It was on me at how much I gave. At the end of the day, it was my choice to do it. So again, the acceptance, how I look at service, and then maybe a little bit around my marriage and relationships. I have conversations with my husband. What I'm talking to my sons about now, who are in college and high school, the conversations are different because I want them to see they're all three ADHD, two not diagnosed, but we just know, right? So they all have different stories and different perspectives, and I want them to feel a hell of a lot better about themselves at 15 and 20 than I did by the time I was 45. They should not go that long. Neither should any woman listening to you in this space. Please do not continue to do that. No one deserves it.
Oh, perfect. Love that message. Thank you so
Thank
much
you.
for sharing with such authenticity. You know, the whole reason we're here is to hear real stories and let others know they're not alone. They're not broken. There's nothing wrong with being different. So it's such an honor to have you be a part of that. And your work around self-identification, especially in the realm of younger women, and your work with Cynthia Hammer and Find the ADHD Girls is so inspiring. Thank you again for your time and your commitment to showing the way.
Thank you so much for that, Jessica. And thank you for the work you're doing in this space as well. It was a privilege and an absolute pleasure. Thank you for giving me my first podcast appearance. It went beautifully, in my opinion. So thank you.
Fantastic. Now, folks will want to know more about LifeBreak, which we only mentioned briefly. Is there a place people can learn more about you and the work you do?
Thank you for asking. And I am, as I said, this is my first of many things, right? I'm a builder and a starter, but I've recently started a LifeBreak Substack. So for folks that might be getting into that space, most of it's writing. There is a little more around maybe the podcasting and things of that nature. But what I like about that platform is that it is real, at least for today. It feels very genuine. These are real stories with a multitude of topics and interests. And so I'm really jazzed and excited to be in that space right now. So please feel free to follow me there and look forward to more to come.
Fantastic. And of course, we'll put that in the show notes.
Thank you.
Thank you again, Tina.
Wonderful. Great to meet you, Jessica. Take care.
Here's your ADHD Alchemy Lab Kit for today. Three ideas from this episode that you can start using today. Number one, rewrite the quitter story. So think of an example of something that you didn't follow to its ultimate final moments. Maybe a job, a project, a volunteer role, business, maybe even a relationship. And then I'd like you to consider the time frame, the trajectory of what you did contribute. Then zoom way out, extract yourself from this picture, and imagine that you are watching someone else do exactly what you did in the same exact timing that you used. And then ask yourself if you would say to that person, "Man, you're such a quitter." Or would you say to that person, "You did what you had to do. You fulfilled your role. The project went on, but you had done your piece, your part in it." And then turn it back to yourself and ask if you're really, truly, factually inconsistent, or do you have more of a starter mentality? Are you a visionary, a catalyst? You can use a one sentence reframe to help with this. So fill in the blanks to the sentence. I'm not someone who blank. I am someone who blank. So maybe it's, I'm not flaky. I'm a builder who thrives in the launch phase. And just notice what happens in your body when shame is replaced with accuracy. Experiment number two, finding the one little thing that can help. So often I find asking for help feels impossible. And it's not because I'm trying to be stubborn, it's because everything feels so overwhelming that I don't even know where to start. I don't know what to ask for help with. And being asked, what do I need help with, feels even more overwhelming. So, step one, find the friction. Think about what in your day or your week makes you sigh or stall and procrastinate or think, oh, I can't believe I have to do this thing. Not the whole project, just the stuck moment. And that is probably the one thing that you need help with. If you need to take it further, then shrink that moment. So if it is cleaning the house that makes you sigh and stall and think, ugh, what is one tiny little piece of cleaning the house? That might be unloading the dishwasher. And then you can ask for help in that way. The important thing is to remember that you don't have to fix everything and you don't need anybody else to fix everything. But finding support with just one discrete piece can lighten your load by a whole lot more than it might seem at first. So here you can use another fill in the blank sentence. I don't need to fix everything. I just need help with blank. And if you can fill in something to that blank, and if your nervous system softens even just a little bit when you fill in that blank, that's your one little thing. Ask for it and don't take it back. Experiment number three, follow the undercurrent. So remember in this episode, Tina and I were talking about how it's not necessarily a midlife crisis. It is and can be a nervous system truth. She described an undercurrent, a quiet internal knowing that something just isn't working anymore. And some people describe this as intuition or a gut feeling. Whatever it is, instead of dismissing yours, you can ask yourself, where in my life does this feel like pressure instead of joy? Is there a role or responsibility or rhythm that used to fit, but it doesn't anymore? You don't have to blow up your whole life. Just acknowledge it. Write it down, name it, honor that signal instead of dismissing it, as we often have so much in our lives and as other people have done to us and for us. Honor it. Sometimes ADHD isn't the breakdown itself, it's the messenger. That is your ADHD Alchemy Lab kit for today. I hope you'll pick one experiment and let me know how it goes. Thanks for listening to the ADHD Alchemy podcast. If you're nodding along and thinking, oh, yeah, that's me, then please subscribe and share this episode with another woman who gets it. Your reviews help more women discover they're not failing. They're just wired differently. And that is a good thing, despite the challenges. Plus, I want to hear your story. Apply to be a guest at myadhdalchemy.com and join my free community at fitology.com/community. Those links will be in the show notes. Together, we can rewrite the ADHD shame story into one of strength. I'll see you next time.